Today's Daily DVR is brought to you by the letter M for Marvel. It's Marvel Day, baby, on cufflinks.com. 30% off Marvel. Use code BESTGIFTS. Get 30% off Marvel. They've got some fantastic stuff over there. Ties, cufflinks. You got to check it out. This is high-class stuff, baby. That's right. And the 12 days continues. On Sunday, guess what? It's Game of Thrones. You can get a Hand of the King or Queen pin right over there, cufflinks.com/DVR. They're having awesome sales. We got so much stuff happening this month. It's still Star Wars month. Come on, man. Cufflinks.com. You know where to go. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Now on with the show. Today is Friday, December 7th, 2018. And this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. It's Friday here, the weekend edition, getting it out a little bit late today, but you'll have the whole weekend to enjoy and listen. I got a lot of news for you. Then we're going to go over the Golden Globes a little bit, talk about that. And I do have a little surprise, hopefully, for next week. I think Heath Snowlow, the Bastard Podcaster, the man himself, is going to come back. We might be doing our top 10 TV shows of 2018. So go on over to patreon.com/DVR, become a patron, and you can listen to those shows. Tuesday and Thursday are Patreon only, but this is the free show, baby. This goes out to everyone, but it's okay. It's all good stuff. Do what you can. Go to Cufflinks or go to Patreon, support the show, keep us on the air, keep us going. I got some news. I've been watching a couple different things. I wanted to shout out Tariq for suggesting that I watch Stargate Universe, which I have begun to watch, and I'm at about episode 11 or 12, and I've really been enjoying it. That's a lot of fun, that show. It's different than the other Stargates. It is a bit, I've dibbled and dabbled in Stargate world, okay? Because I love Star Wars, Star Trek. I love all that stuff. And I really love the movie, the original Stargate movie with James Spader. But I never got into the shows. And I know they had the one with, what, Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, right? And he's in Stargate Universe. But Stargate Universe is a little bit, it's like kind of a step up. What's his name? Robert Carlyle is in it. And he kind of adds a little bit of acting chops to it. What's her name? I think it's Ming Na. She's fantastic. She's been in a lot of stuff. You recognize her immediately. And it's a lot of fun. They're like on this spaceship. They don't know where it is, what the ship really is. I've been enjoying it. Shout out to people telling me what to watch. Tell me what to watch, people. Tell me something else. That was a good suggestion, brother. Thank you. At the same time, I've been checking out Night Flyers, the George R.R. Martin show that has been debuting one episode a night. At first, I thought they were going to just keep on showing it all. I think what they're going to do, one episode a night, and then they're going to just stream it. Like, that's their whole channel is just going to become Night Flyers for a weekend. I think that's next week because it's 10 episodes. And I've been enjoying that too. It's weird to go back and forth between these two shows because they're both set on spaceships far away from Earth that are kind of like haunted maybe, or something is going on. You don't know. There's a little bit more of a horror vibe in Night Flyers, a little bit more of sci-fi vibe in Stargate. But I'm enjoying both of the shows, but it has been getting confusing going back and forth. So I think I might just let Night Flyers build up as I keep on going with Stargate Universe. So thanks, Tariq. I appreciate it. That was a good suggestion, brother. So what else you got for me out there, people? Tell me what to watch. There's a lot of different things. I tried The Office. I started watching The Office. I watched like five or six episodes and I just didn't go back to it. The American Office, I should say. I don't know why. I think people have said you kind of got to push through like the first season and a half and it gets a lot better. So maybe that's what I'll do at some point. But for some reason, I jumped on to the sci-fi stuff. That's just what attracts me. I still got to finish Homecoming. I know James wants me to chat about Homecoming and Haunting of Hill House, which I'm definitely going to do Hill House. I might save that till the new year because I might do actually a rewatch on that. But we'll see. I perhaps will get inspired for Hill House. And Homecoming, I still have to finish. But Hill House was great. Go out and watch both of those, people. All right, let's get on to the news. The first thing is a little Lost related, and this led me down a rabbit hole. So if you're Lost fans, you remember Michael Osiello, and you remember Jeff Jensen. Two guys, I think they wrote for Entertainment Weekly, and I can't remember whatever. There was like maybe Hollywood Reporter or something like that. So both of these guys were pretty big in the Lost writing community and blogging community. And Jeff Jensen actually ended up writing and coming up with this story for Tomorrowland, the movie that Brad Bird directed with George Clooney. Damon Lindelof also ended up writing the final screenplay, but they all came up with the story together. So that's one story. Now, Osiello, I mean, this is a very different story, but Osiello he wrote a book called Spoiler Alert, The Hero Dies, about his husband dying. And that has been optioned for Jim Parsons to star in it. Let's see, Michael Showalter, the famous comedian, but now big director, he directed The Big Sick, is going to direct it. And this is going to be a big movie. And it's a sad story, unfortunately. His partner, photographer Kit Cohen, got a diagnosis of terminal cancer, and then he passed away. But it's pretty amazing that these guys were kind of like the big Lost. Because when I first read it, I was like, wait, didn't he write the movie with Damon, Tomorrowland? And then I was like, no, wait, that was the other guy. So it just goes to show you, a lot of things around Lost lead to creativity and expression, and this story is going to get to be told, and these are big people, and that's pretty cool. Dan Savage is writing the screenplay. Wow, that's a movie that I'm going to be interested in. All right, what else do we got on the news front? Well, of course, the big news is the Avengers trailer. I enjoyed it. I didn't think that it said a lot, and that was good because I don't like spoilers, and I'm not even going to watch the next trailer, maybe. I'm excited for this movie. It doesn't give anything away. I kind of know what is probably going to happen. There's a lot of people that aren't in it, I thought it was fun, and it gets people talking about it, and I mean, it's really a lot of Robert Downey Jr. too, so he was pretty good. That was kind of heartfelt. It was almost like a little mini film with him within the trailer, and I like that presentation of it. Related to that, they have moved up the movie a week. It's called Avengers Endgame. That's okay. That's a nice, I don't know. I mean, it's a little obvious maybe. Like, I don't know. I like the weird things, but I know that's okay. That's a good name. Avengers Endgame. Endgame is cool. And so basically it's going to come out April 26th. And maybe I'll see this in the theater. I don't know. Like I said, I don't really do not like going to theaters. I got to admit, I get claustrophobic. People bother me. They're looking at their phone. I don't know. I don't really like it. But I might go see it in the theater. If there aren't a lot of people there, maybe I can find a place to go see it. Now, one thing I want to talk about is there was an article that I read on Dark Horizons, of course, where the Russos gave an interview, the directors of the Avengers, and they said something which I thought was kind of interesting. The two-hour movie is dying, and they were saying, we're in a major moment of disruption. Now, first of all, I hate when people use that word. Checking back, quick digression, I talked about a show called Unanchored last week that I was going to watch it. It was on Bravo. And I guessed that it was about a yacht club. It's not. It's about a bunch of people in their 20s, 30s, like very like a business and like worker type people. I don't know, like, you know, work hard, play hard, dude. Like really serious about their career. And they take off a month a year to do something called bucket lust. And they go to the Bahamas and go on a sailboat, which is kind of cool. But all the people are pretty insufferable. Like insufferable. They're annoying as hell, but it's a funny show. And they constantly use the word disruption on the whole show. Like every time one of them is at work, they're like, yeah, we're disrupting. So that's just basically it. That's stupid. But anyway, I was wrong about that. I wanted to check in on that. So it's not about a yacht club, but is it worth checking out? My quick review, since I already talked about it, interrupting my review of Marvel article connected to the trailer. I say, yeah, why not? It's funny. It's harmless. I think it's a funny, dumb Bravo show. I think the wife and I are going to keep on watching it, though the people are so annoying. They're really annoying people. They're like best buds, you know? They're like, I love these people. Oh my God, you're my best friend ever. Continuing what the Russo said, the two-hour film has had a great run for about 100 years, but it's becoming a very predictable format. It's difficult, I think, to work in it. It's sort of like saying, we all like sonnets, so let's tell sonnets for 100 years as many ways as we possibly can. I'm not sure that this next generation that is coming up is going to see two-hour narrative as a predominant format of storytelling for them. So when you hear that, do you think that it's a movie should be shorter or longer? Because I hear that and I think, oh, yeah, you're right. They should be shorter. A movie should be an hour and a half. If you want to do something longer than that, go to Netflix and make a TV series. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I feel like films should be shorter. I really think that a long movie at a theater, I guess even if it is a drama, I like a shorter time for a film. And I think that that's what, I think that he might be entirely wrong. And films, first of all, you get them in and out of the seats quick, you make more money, the theaters like it. I've never understood why a theater would want to play a movie that's 3 hours long. You can't play as many movies. Now they say, well, there's not as many that are playing empty, but that doesn't matter. If you have an extra one and it's half full, you just made half a full audience of money, right? But not that I'm all being capitalist about it, but I've always wondered about that. I think that they're wrong about this. And I think that these Marvel movies prove that, because they are really like, they're like Netflix series condensed. They're like a 5-episode Netflix series. Because they really have so many acts. They don't have 3 acts. It's like act after act after act. So there's act inside it. Just the way they're written is they're so segmented and they're not really films. I don't think that's a film. I think a film is, not that a film can't have segmented parts or acts in it, but is a congruent story. And oftentimes these are not, because they're checking in on certain people or situations to connect to other situations. And it's not really the main plot, right? Not all of the Marvel movies. Some of them are a little bit shorter too. And I like that. Or they should be. But I thought this was really interesting that you're going to kind of like sit and watch something that is, what, 3.5 hours in a movie theater? So I just think that's interesting, because they already said that the first cut of this Avengers Endgame came in at 3 hours. Who wants to go to a movie theater for 3 hours? It's just too long, really. I mean, look, I went and I saw 2001. I was in so much pain. I loved the experience. Shout out to Mike Hall for taking me, but I was in so much pain. My back was killing me. But when I'm at home in my couch and chilling, I'm feeling good. So, I mean, I'm not against group theater watching, people love it. I understand the experience, but I don't think the Russos are right with this one. And I think it just brought up the idea to me of how much better these would all be if they were, you know, imagine if Civil War was 6 episodes or 8 episodes and they put that much money into it, but they just release it on the Disney service. They're not going to make as much money back, right? But maybe in the end they will. Maybe you pay a little bit of extra fee. You can only see it on the Disney service, but you pay $3 for it. You know, it's like an add-on. People might be interested in that. Who knows? That might be where we're going in the future. So that's all I got to say about that today, but that is pretty exciting. I did like the trailer. Just a shout that there has been a picture going around, and I didn't even know this movie existed, which is Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson in the Men in Black spinoff, Men in Black International. I mean, I don't know if I need to see another Men in Black movie, but you know what? Those were kind of funny movies. Again, a little long, but I love these two, so I'm down for that. I didn't realize they were making that. Is there like a Men in Black fandom? Is there Men in Black Twitter? Like people just talk about it. Like, I don't know. I think that alien in Scene 8, who knows? You never know. Speaking of Twitter and such and the interwebs, HBO has released its official tease for Game of Thrones Season 8. And it's fire going into ice on a map. Not really saying much. And it's kind of fun, but whatever. It's like a hype thing. It's a little hype thing. People like it, and it looks like a battle appears to be imminent. Really? I had no idea. It did make me excited, though. And just again, I have to say, I'm now about 10 hours into Fire and Blood, and let me tell you something. It's amazing. If you have not read the Game of Thrones books, you don't need to have read them. If you watch the TV series, listening to this is not going to spoil you on the books or anything. It's like a history of the Targaryens. It's so good. I love it. I'm listening to it, or I should say listening to it. I listen to it. You might want to actually read it. But I am listening to it, and it's awesome. So that did get me kind of excited. I was more excited for the dragon part. Another little bit of new sci-fi. Shout out to Justin. We're going to have Justin back on the show next week. I know he likes anthologies. There's 2, actually. Apple started shooting an anthology, Amazing Stories, a reboot of Amazing Stories, and Carrie Bechet and Ed Burns are going to be in it. You know, she actually got her start in an Ed Burns film. He's directed a couple of really good little movies. You know, I actually like his later ones better. But, Sci-Fi is doing a Night Gallery revival. If you remember, Night Gallery was Rod Serling, and it was the follow-up to Twilight Zone, but it was more sci-fi. It was a little bit more adult, too, I thought, you know? I think, you know, Night Gallery. So you remember, at a certain point in time, anything that had the word night in it automatically meant that it was a little dirty or something. Like, it's not, the internet obliterated that because there's no more codes for that. Like everything's just nasty now. But back when I was a youngin', James is now going to laugh at me. Shout out to Grandpa James. That, remember, there'd be like Night Gallery or Up Late. You know what I mean? Late at night. That's when the adult things happen. Now adult things happen 24 hours a day in your internet browser. But I like this. I love anthologies because you can dip in and out, and you can, certain ones are going to be good, or, you know, you put them on, you just kind of watch, you get caught up in a really good story. And I, again, not to harken back too much to the Russos here, but sometimes it's good to leave them wanting more, you know, do a little, you know, it's good to edit. You know, here I am putting out like hour shows every day. Okay. Now I wanted to bring this up, of course, on the Great Dark Horizons. And this was around the internet too, that there was a poll about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Yes, I'm going to throw my hat into this inane internet type thing and say, I think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I always felt like it was a Christmas movie. I watched it around Christmas time or would want to watch it before it became a thing. I'm sure that's how it became a thing because we were all doing that. Not that I'm like, you know, punk rock, but, you know, come on, I'm punk rock. I think it's a Christmas movie. I don't know. If you want to write in and disagree with me, disagree with me. DVRpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @DVRpodcast. But on this poll, only 25% said it was a Christmas movie and 62% said it wasn't. Come on. 32% of men saying it was, 20% of women saying it wasn't. Die Hard, baby. What a great movie. It's definitely a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas. Now, this is really interesting. A while ago, I was up late, which I often am, and I was checking what was on PBS, because I always like to check, or some other weird channels, you know, like I get DirecTV like Link or something, I don't know, something where they show some weird docs or something. I saw this documentary called Don't Stop Believing. And just the title alone, I was like, is this about Journey? And it was. And it was a documentary about how Neil Schon found the new lead singer of Journey, Arnel Pineda, on the internet, on YouTube. And if you don't know this story, this is one of the greatest stories. And the news is they are now making this into a movie. John Chu from Crazy Rich Asians said, maybe that taught this dude how to direct. I don't know, but I don't have much hope. I was kind of sad I'm glad that this is being made and now he's getting to tell this story. It's close to him, blah, blah, blah. I enjoy that. But the Crazy Rich Asians, again, my review of that, not directed well. I felt most of the fault was in the direction. Anyway, he's going to direct this movie. I'm glad it's being made, but forget about this movie. Go watch the documentary. It's called Don't Stop Believing. It's fantastic. It will, I don't even want to get into it. All I'm going to say is don't watch any clips or anything, or if you have not already seen this dude singing the Journey songs, don't do it until you watch this, because it is going to blow you away. And the whole story is just crazy. The documentary is fantastic. They go into his life. They go into the history of the band. I mean, it's really one of like, I didn't even know they had made this. I kind of heard about it and it's really fantastic. You can stream it now on Amazon Prime. Go over to Amazon Prime. Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey. It is absolutely fantastic. It's really a great doc. So check that out. And they're going to make a movie. I don't know. I'd say watch the doc, because if this Chu guy is going to direct it, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of his. Oh man, I don't know. I really was looking forward to that Crazy Rich Asians. I really didn't like it. I just thought it was just really not good. And I say that because I really want it to be good. Anyway, our good friend Glenn tweeted me this clip of a trailer for a movie called All Is True that Kenneth Branagh made, in which he directs and stars and he plays William Shakespeare. And it's kind of late in his life, and he's looking back at his life, and it's a father-son and husband relationship and all that kind of stuff. And it's really fun, and I'm glad that he tweeted it over at me. Thanks, Glenn, because this looks like a good movie. And I really like Branagh. I like that history, Jacoby, Branagh. I like these guys that have been acting on this stage for years. They keep Shakespeare alive. I like that he's doing the Agatha Christie movies. I've always been an appreciator of that dude. I don't really know anything about him past his acting, but I've always appreciated that he kind of holds that old style. Kevin Hart is out as host of the Oscars, and that was whatever it was, and they'll announce somebody new. And but the Golden Globes, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, are going to have Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh host. And that's perfect. That's great. They're perfect. It's going to be funny. They'll tell some jokes. Samberg will be silly. She's super funny and amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's what you do. That's how you do it. You just get some people who know how to do it, who aren't, you know, just kind of people. Sandberg's kind of boring, I guess, but he's funny. I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I kind of like that dude. I'm not always a fan of the stuff that he does with the other dudes, Jorma and all that. It can be funny, but that last one wasn't too good, the Justin Bieber one. But I think that's a good pairing. I like when you just put people up there. Who cares about hosts? They're there for 2 seconds. They do a little intro and then they go away, you know? They should have just got Jimmy Kimmel to do it again. He was good. The Jean-Luc Picard series is now slated to be released at the end of 2019, and it's going to air exclusively on CBS All Access. And I am really excited about this. That's a little bit sooner than I thought. I didn't think we were going to see this until later. But then again, everything happens quickly now. They just announced this. Patrick Stewart is back. Jean-Luc. So I guess I'm getting another trial of CBS All Access a year after I watched Star Trek Discovery. All right. Jesse Plemons, a little casting news. Charlie Kaufman. Remember Charlie Kaufman? Wow. He wrote a lot of great, weird movies. Worked with some interesting directors. Then he directed his own film. He kind of disappeared a little bit. And then I had heard a while back that he was making a series for Netflix. But I guess it's become a show. And it's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And it is also with Brie Larson, who is now blowing up, of course. Larson plays a woman whose boyfriend, Jake Plemons, is taking her to meet his parents on their secluded farm. After Jake takes an unexpected turn and ends up leaving her stranded, psychological terror ensues. It's kind of like, I guess, a kind of a horror type thing. This description is feeling like a little Get Out-ish to me. Maybe this is about something else, too, a little deeper. And I just bring it up because of Kaufman, but also I love Jesse Plemons. What a dude, man. Oh, my God. He rocked my world on Breaking Bad. Whew. He was something else. I love that dude. And then he was on Fargo. Awesome. Love him. Very happy just to talk about anything that he's doing. He is a number one actor for me. Love Jesse Plemons. Jesse Plemons. I just call him Jesse Plemons. All right. This is a story that is close to my heart. And I was just rereading this last night, actually, as my wife was falling asleep watching like House Hunters or something. And I was kind of preparing for the show. And I reread this article that appeared called The Watcher. And this was an article that originally appeared in, I think, the New Yorker, New York magazine. And Netflix won a bidding war for it. And they are going to tell this story. And it's about a family who purchases a home in Westfield, New Jersey for over $1 million. They like saved up for it. They really wanted it. And they start getting these weird letters. The first day they get there, they get a weird letter and it says, I am the watcher of this house. I see that your daughter likes to paint from the easel on your thing that when you moved in, like kind of little details that freak them out. It goes from there and it's actually a rather long and involved story and involves the town and it's got a kind of like socio-political ramifications, racial ramifications. There's a lot to it. Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman are going to direct it. Now, I think that this Schulman, I'm reading this right now, and now I thought that this was a different dude, but I think that these are the guys who do the MTV show. Are they? Am I going to be disappointed here? Maybe not. Yes, Catfish. Yeah, so he was one of the Catfish guys, but I don't think he was involved in the TV show. I think he was just involved. He's not one of the on-camera guys in the TV show. And Juiced, I've heard of too. Who is Juiced? I should have done this before, but I'm going to do it now. Okay, cool. All right. That's right. They were the guys who were in the movie, but they're not in the TV show of Catfish. They went on to do Paranormal Activity 4 and Nerve. Nerve was an interesting film. All right, cool. I'm not disappointed. I like these guys because I thought it was the guys from the Catfish MTV TV show, which were their buddies that were involved in it, not the ones who are actually really making it. Okay, cool. But anyway, long story short or longer, I grew up in a town next door to Westfield. I went to Westfield every weekend. I used to ride my bike into Westfield. I know this house. I drove by it a million times. I know the town. It's very, actually, Westfield, my town that I grew up in, Springfield, New Jersey, is now a lot more like what Westfield is now. They weren't really that. It was a kind of a upper middle class town, I would say, when I was growing up, but not what it is, I think, now. I guess times have changed too. So it is kind of a very ritzy town, and it's just interesting that this took place there, and it's kind of now it's becoming this big thing. It's only a matter of time before there's some Netflix documentary or story that took place like near where you lived. You know, everybody's going to have one at the end. You know, you're going to be like, where are you from? Oh, I'm from near Westfield, you know, where The Watcher on Netflix. Oh yeah, I remember that. All right, everybody, let me take a quick ad break. Then I'm going to be back with the Golden Globes. Cufflinks.com, baby. It's Marvel Day. You heard me talking about the trailer. I may not agree with the Russos that movies should be longer, but I do agree that I do like those Avengers movies, and I'm looking forward to it, Captain Marvel. Go on over to cufflinks.com/DVR, get 30% off Marvel, use the code BESTGIFTS. Over the weekend, Game of Thrones stuff is going to be on sale on Sunday, and remember, you can use code DVR20 whenever you want. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR, get 20% off, no minimum. We're going to keep that going for as long as we go, baby. Cufflinks.com/DVR. The products are so awesome. And actually, you know what? They're so great. They reached out and they said, hey, we want to give you some more stuff to give away. And I said, you don't have to do that. I've got enough stuff. No, still sent it to me. So I got a bunch more Star Wars stuff today. So thanks to Cufflinks. They're keeping it going. And I have announced on Twitter, and I said on the last episode, that I'm going to be giving away these Star Wars cufflinks. And I'm going to go old school here. We're going back to subscribe and review. Let's get the podcast out there. So you know what? Write me a review on iTunes, or just subscribe to the show and send me a screenshot that you subscribed. Tweet it at me, send it to dvrpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to keep this open until next Friday, and I hope to have Justin come on, and we're going to give away live. We're going to give away some more Star Wars stuff, and then we'll announce the winner of this too. So it's going to be a double giveaway next Friday. Thank you to cufflinks.com. Go over to cufflinks.com/DVR so they know you heard about them here. Marvel, Game of Thrones, NCAA, or if you just need the high class looking good, no geek, straight up goodness, they got that too. Cufflinks.com/DVR. So give us a review or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Acast. We're on all of those things. Just do that. Send it to me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Tweet it. Join our Facebook group. Tell us on our Facebook group, and you'll be entered to win a pair of awesome Stormtrooper cufflinks. They are so awesome. They're so thick too. It's like you know what? I have to say, you got to get over the hump with the quality of like accepting how much quality is in cufflinks. Cause I think we're all so used to like knockoff stuff. Oh, it has a picture of Captain America, Iron Man on it. Right. But then it's like junky, but that's not what this is. This is like solid handcrafted items, real great stuff. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Give us a review, and we're going to do a double giveaway next Friday with Justin, baby. Now back to the show. All right, we're back. Let's talk about the Golden Globes. Oh, actually, you know what? Before we talk about the Golden Globes, I should cover what is premiering over the weekend. So let's take a look here. Netflix is, of course, dropping a bunch of stuff. Nothing huge like they've been dropping lately. We got a lot of different documentary, comedy, all different type of stuff. There's not one thing that stands out. Maybe it's the Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, the Andy Serkis directed retelling of the Jungle Book, Christian Bale, Kate Blanchett, Benedict Cumberbatch. I guess that is it. But the reason I'm saying it is because it got really weird reviews. Like, it's not, I guess people thought it was going to be a kid's movie, but it's kind of harsh and dark, and people are just saying the tone is weird. So I don't know whether this is going to end up being something that people are going to be like, oh wow, that dropped on Netflix. I think it might be remastered. Who Killed Jam Master Jay? A documentary about the murder of Jam Master Jay from Run DMC, and I want to watch this. I don't know much about that. I remember that happening. It was like at the studio, and I'm going to watch that. So we'll see. Little Super Monsters and the Wish Star. I know that Lachlan is going to want to watch that. A couple other things happening over the weekend. We just got more Christmas stuff. And then on Sunday is the return of Counterpart. This got great reviews for the first season. This is where J.K. Simmons plays a dual role of like two different people in alternate realities. A little bit of Man of the High Castle-ish stuff going on there, but this explores it from a singular perspective, a person's perspective. Do I have Stars now? I don't remember. But I had it, and then I didn't have it, and I didn't finish watching this first season, but it got a lot of good reviews. And the second season is coming back, and people are saying it's good, but maybe not as good as some people had hoped. The story doesn't expand as much. And I don't know. That's why I'm talking to Justin. I hear like his voice in my head thinking like, oh, these things aren't going to last. But you know what? I don't know. Did you watch Counterpart? What do you think of Counterpart? Tell me what you think. Besides that, not a huge amount dropping this weekend. I'll probably be watching more of Stargate Universe, baby. That's right. So let's check out the Golden Globes. The Golden Globe nominations came out. The Golden Globes are going to be taking place. When are they going to be? This was announced on Thursday, and the ceremony is going to be on January 6th. You know, we get the Golden Globes, we get the Independent Spirits, the Oscars, so it's kind of like award season, right? Golden Globes covers both television and film. I'm going to go over a couple of the categories. I can't speak as much to film. A lot of these films I have not seen. I can, of course, speak to the television, so I'm really going to do more of the TV. So for the TV, they have Best Drama Series. And I also have some comments from Andy. Maybe I should start out with the comment to Andy, which I actually accidentally sent to him. I went to email it to myself. He made a comment on our Facebook group, and I sent it to myself. And I was like, hey, man, sorry, I sent you your own comment. So actually, let me read him first, and then we'll get to the commentary there, Ando. All right, buddy. All right, hold on a second, Andy. Best television series drama, The Americans, Bodyguard, Homecoming, Killing Eve, Pose. There's no more distinction any longer we can't really even argue categories, can we? Like Bodyguard really should maybe be a limited series, but we're not sure. Killing Eve, I think they're already doing. And, you know, didn't there used to be a foreign or co-production? It doesn't matter. It's all just TV. I kind of like it better that way. Best performance by an actress in a television series drama. Katarina Balfay, Outlander, Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale, Sandra Oh, Killing Eve, Julia Roberts, Homecoming, Carrie Russell, The Americans. This is a good bunch here. I mean, you can think of more, but I don't think anyone is undeserving. And that's, I think, the same thing when I look at best television series. I think things are missing, of course. Better Call Saul, obviously. I mean, I thought Haunting of Hill House could be in here. Is Atlanta a comedy or a drama? I guess it's a comedy. I don't know. But I don't have a problem with any of these. Killing Eve is great. Homecoming's great. Bodyguard's great. The American's great. Love it. I don't watch Outlander, but I know that show, people love it. There's people I hope win, but if Sandra Oh won for Killing Eve, I'd be happy. Carrie Russell, I'd be happy. Best performance by an actor in a TV series, Jason Bateman, Ozark, Stephen James, Homecoming, Richard Madden, Bodyguard, Billy Porter, Pose, Matthew Rhys, The Americans. Jason Bateman is great in Ozark. I think the show kind of tailed and I didn't finish the second season. I'll probably, maybe at some point I will, but he's great. All these are good. Of course, I can think where's Better Call Saul again, but best television series, musical or comedy, Barry, The Good Place, Kidding, The Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This is where it goes off the cliff. The Kominsky Method, I watched I tried. That is not good. That's from Two and a Half Men guy, Chuck Lorre. I reviewed that on the show. I really didn't like it. You know I love Barry. I'm down with. I don't think it was the best thing ever, but I think it was really good. The Good Place, of course, I love it. More Good Place. Kidding? I don't know. What was that? I watched 3 episodes of it and I still couldn't. It was just felt like it was running in place and then it was just weird. I like Michelle Gondry, Jim Carrey. Maybe it's just me. It was the kid deaths thing I couldn't take. Maybe I should try Kidding, but I don't know. This is a little scanty here, this one. Where's Atlanta? Best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, comedy, Kristen Bell. Murphy Brown didn't watch it. Alison Brie, Glow. I know she's great in it, though. I didn't watch the show. Rachel Brosnahan, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. There we go. I think that's Brett's wife. Deborah Messing, Will and Grace. This is kind of a throw. Murphy Brown, Will and Grace. It's a little, you know, mixing in the stuff. This isn't too bad so far. I mean, the musical or comedy best one is not good. Performance by an actor, Sacha Baron Cohen. Oh, it's getting worse. Jim Carrey, Michael Douglas. Okay, then we get Donald Glover and Bill Hader. Those are really the only two that deserve it on that one. So that's disappointing. Limited series, best limited series, The Alienist, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Escape at Dannemora, Sharp Objects, A Very English Scandal. Oh, good. That was good. There's a lot more, but The Alienist was good. This is not bad. Best actress in a miniseries, Amy Adams, Patricia Arquette, Connie Britton, Laura Dern, Regina King. Connie Britton for Dirty John before it even finished its run. Okay, well, they got screeners, I guess. Regina King, love her. Always happy when she wins, even though 7 Seconds was canceled. Amy Adams, I know people really love Sharp Objects. I love Connie Britton. Laura Dern, I'm down for it. These aren't bad. Best performance by an actor in a limited series, Antonio Banderas, Genius, Daniel Brühl, Alienist, Darren Criss, Versace, Cumberbatch for Patrick Melrose. Didn't see that. Hugh Grant, A Very English Scandal. I really like that. That's on Amazon, A Very English Scandal. You should check it out. It's really good. These really aren't that bad. The supporting are not that bad either, though I'm not going to mention. Thandie Newton is finally nominated. Yeah, Westworld isn't on here either. I forgot. There's so much TV. That's why, it's impossible at this point. There's so many things missing from this. It's just like film too, but it used to be in TV that they'd kind of grab be one thing missing. But now I see so many shows that are missing. Let's see. Best performance by an actress, a supporting role, Alex Borstein, Mrs. Maisel, Patricia Clarkson, Sharp Objects, Penelope Cruz, Versace, Thandie Newton, Westworld, Yvonne Strahovski, Handmaid's Tale. Was Elizabeth Moss not nominated? Let's see. Drama. No, she was nominated. Yeah, okay. That's weird. Limited series or motion. Wait, how is Strahovski nominated for Handmaid's Tale and its supporting role? Oh, in series. Oh, okay. It's series, limited series, or motion picture made for. So for the supporting actress, they just throw it all in there. For everything else, they break it down. But if you're supporting, you don't get that chance. That's kind of silly. This is not a bad list. I'm going to look at it from my point of view. Does it do a job of telling people about some things that are on that they wouldn't know? And for that, it does a fairly decent job. Okay. You have, do have some shows, you know, maybe Atlanta not being, on everything, you know, Atlanta gets in the Emmys, right? I mean, it's kind of silly because it's such a great show, and Westworld being kind of eliminated from the drama category. This is a Better Call Saul's eliminated. This is pretty weak now that I think about it. Like I said, I don't know enough. I would go over all the films, but I haven't seen so many of them that I can't say. I'm going to still watch it. This isn't really exciting, that exciting to me. I will be interested to see. It's cool that Bodyguard got so much play. But Killing Eve and The Americans, that's awesome. I love those shows. I'm glad The Guy from Homecoming was nominated too, because he's fantastic. Stephen James, maybe it's Stefan. That's cool. It's good to see Pose. I know Pose was on a lot of best lists. We talked about that earlier this week. So do those lists go with this list? Kind of, but not really. You can see how the critics lists are so much more diverse and bend a certain way towards creativity, where this bends a little bit more towards industry. And that's to be expected. But you know what? All in all, not terrible. I'm trying not to get upset about the Better Call Saul not being on there. But I can tell you already, the more I think about it, the more upset I'm going to get. It's just annoying because I want more people to watch it. This is purely about representation to me. And it's sad, but I'm glad we get it with The Americans and Killing Eve, because those are really cool shows and they're very smart. Homecoming too. Sam Esmail, do they not do best show? Why don't they do best showrunner? You know, they don't do that. They do best directing and stuff like that. There's smaller categories here. These are just the bigger categories, but they should do best showrunner. I like that idea. All right, that's all I got for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoy your weekend. I'll be back on Monday. We're going to be getting back into Star Wars month. I've got two guests coming up that I have confirmed, but I'm not going to announce them until... I don't like announcing guests until we record sometime. Not always, but sometimes. Because you never know, you know? I don't like to pressure somebody. You know, if we have to change, you know, people have families and stuff. So right now I'm keeping it secret. Also, it gets the suspense going. Also, remember, if you want to win those awesome cufflinks, Stormtrooper cufflinks from cufflinks.com, review the show, rate the show, subscribe, send me a screenshot of your subscription, get your friend to subscribe. That's what we're trying to do. Get subscriptions and reviews so people get the word out there. We appreciate it. And thanks to cufflinks.com for sending me a whole new bunch of Star Wars stuff. Remember, next Friday, Justin and I are going to do a double giveaway. We're going to announce the winner of this one, and we're going to do a live giveaway. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Peace out.